Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this, take the limits off.
That's right, we are on the air, and we are broadcasting live, as always, live from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. And as always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King. I am in the studio today. I'm excited, happy to be here, fighting a little headache, but guess what? We're going to be all right, but I'm excited to be here in this place at this appointed time. We got a great show for you today. I hope y'all ready for today's show. It's Praise Break Fridays. Y'all know we always try to talk about worship. It's always something dealing with worship, and that's our conversation for today. Y'all ready for this? How to coach your congregation to be worshipers. How to coach your congregation to be worshipers. That's our topic of conversation for today. Y'all ready for that? Man, look, let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If that means you, my brother, my sister, whoever, if it's your first time listening, first time watching, first time viewing, whatever it is, first time listening to a podcast, let me give you some information. If you want to be a part of the show, right, we let you be a part of the show. If you want to call into the show, all you got to do is dial area code 323-870-4375. That's the call-in number. One more time, 323-870-4375 is your call-in number. One more time for the Holy Ghost, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, again, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. All you got to do is push 1. That'll get you to my producer. Got the best producer in the land on the other side of the, I keep saying glass, even though we ain't got one. But on the other side of the glass, the one that only Latonya Melton taking all of your calls. Again, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. If you want to email the show, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Looking forward to getting any emails we might receive today. We would love to read your email on the air. Sometimes y'all comments, y'all may feel like y'all want to type too much in the comment box. If you decide to send an email, if you want the email to remain anonymous, all you got to do is say, hey, keep it anonymous, and we won't read nothing other than what you send us. Huh? But that's all you got to do. Again, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. You can tweet the show. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio, 2 T's, 1 L, 1 O. TTLO Radio is where you can tweet the show. If you want to follow us on the gram, follow us on Instagram. Simple, real easy to do. Follow us on IG. That's Taking the Limits to TTLO Radio. Same thing, TTLO Radio, 2 T's, 1 L, 1 O. TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. If you want to, let me keep it going. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Again, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Don't forget to, the live stream is up and running. Y'all come on in. Say something to your boy when you come into the room. That way I can see that you spoke. Say something to me when you come in. Let me know where you're watching from. If you're in Chicago, if you're outside of the city, outside of the city limits or outside of Illinois, just let me know where you're calling from. And let me know, too, if it's your first time. If you're a first time, if you're a first time watcher, let me know. 323-870-4375. That's the call-in number. But if you're on the live stream, the live stream is up and running. Drop your comments in the box. Glad to have you all back and watching with us today. today. Don't forget, too, we are an iHeartRadio partner, so you can find us on your iHeartRadio app. All you got to do is do a simple search on the iHeartRadio app for the Taking the Limits Off radio show. That's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Then you can find Healthy Soul Talk with your girl, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Real talk, real issues and real solutions with Dr. Kimberly Thomas every Tuesday, Healthy Soul Talk. Then on Thursdays, Grindleology with your girl, Lisette Herndon. Every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. for all your branding, marketing, small business, entrepreneurship, any of those things that you have going on, you can find them there. Oh, really? Okay. All right. But you can find us there. Don't forget, too, you can find us on Spotify. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on any place that you can download a podcast. You can find us there. Amen. 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 Do I want to take a break? Nope. Just keep it going. All right. Cool. Because we're still moving over. Okay. Y'all let us know if y'all start to see some, if it starts to get choppy or anything like that, because I probably should have reset. When I heard the thing earlier, I wasn't thinking. I should have reset the Wi-Fi then, because the camera always lets us know when it's something crazy going on. Let me see some comments. What's going on, Felicia? I see you. God bless you. To God be the glory, Pitts. God bless you. Felicia LaShawn says, I'm a 1,000-time guest. What's up? God bless you. Y'all come on in, man. Y'all let us know if the signal gets choppy or anything as far as the video goes, because when we came in, we noticed that there was a Wi-Fi issue before we even logged on. So, but hopefully everything continues to run smoothly. Nothing has paused on my end, which I guess is a good thing. So you got the little notification that it's zero? Oh, okay. So it means it's a little weak. Okay. Hopefully it will pick itself up sooner than later. Man, so, all right, y'all. Kamala Harris. I was going to call her Kamala, but it's Kamala. Kamala Harris. I call it, messed it up anyway. Kamala Harris, y'all. That is the Democratic pick for VP. What's y'all thoughts? What's y'all thoughts? What's y'all thoughts? What's y'all thoughts? I don't know. I honestly don't know what my thoughts are. I honestly don't know what my thoughts are. I am excited, though, that Joe picked him a VP. I'm excited that he got a young VP. But can I just say this? And I know that we are at a date and time and an age where people are trying not to be discriminated against. But I think I've said this on these airwaves before. There needs to be a cutoff age for president. There needs to be a cutoff age for president. And I'm going to tell y'all why I'm saying what I'm saying. And please don't be offended. I know that there are older people who do quite well in whatever they're doing. But I'm just going to say this. Donald Trump, if he wins, will be 75 years old, I believe. If he wins again, he'll be 75. Joe Biden will be 78 by the time he's inaugurated. He'll be 78 years old. I'm sorry. Please don't attack me for what I'm saying. But that's a bit much. I think there's got to be a cutoff for. There's got to be a cutoff for when we say how old is too old to be president. I know that they have a starting date. You have to be 35 to run. So you have to be 35 to run, because look at it this way. Like, Barack Obama wasn't even 60 when he left office. So he came in, came president, served two terms, got out. I don't know about y'all, but I feel some kind of way, because I was watching Joe Biden, and I don't want to feed into the right wing dynamic that they're pushing right now, that something is wrong with Joe and he's too old to be president, and all of these different things. I'm not trying to buy into that. However, I just think there is a time and a place. Why does this thing keep misspelling this word? And I'm typing it like I know I can spell. There is a time and a place. And I just think that he has, I don't know, man. First of all, and maybe it's just the TV, but have y'all seen Joe Biden lately? He doesn't look well. He doesn't look well. Donna Patrick, present from Texas, although I'm flip-flopping between you and the Dorsey Convention. Oh, that's right. That is tonight. You know, Ebenezer is going to have to, like, next year, I'm thinking when everything is done, Ebenezer is going to have to, like, Ebenezer should be participating in the Dorsey Convention. They really should, especially since he started here, you would think, right? But I am, have y'all seen Joe Biden lately? I'm just saying, he does not look well. He looks, for lack of better words, artificial. He looks removed he just looks distant, like he's not there. He looks like he's not all there. Donald Trump has never looked like he was there. He just, you know, cracks jokes through all of his stuff, and his followers are impressed with his little quips and everything else. But he just does not look well. Felicia says, I would have preferred that mayor from Atlanta. Oh, Bottoms, Keisha. Yeah. Mayor Bottoms, Keisha. Y'all wouldn't know how to act if we would have had a vice president named Keisha. Huh? Come on now. What y'all going to do with a VP named, hey, Keisha? They acting up over there in Iraq. I ain't mad though. I like Keisha too. I think that they thought, well, you know, they had her, and then they had Stacey Abrams. That was the other pick. Stacey Abrams was the one who was running she ran for governor of Georgia, right? I think Stacey Abrams. Was it Georgia? Yeah, I think she ran for governor of Georgia, and she had a really, really close race with the government for governor of Georgia. But I'm a little worried about Joe. Joe seems, you know, I'm rooting for Joe because honestly, I think a mannequin that didn't speak would be better than Donald Trump. But that's just Dana, you know. That's just Dana. Okay, so now it's telling me I have no internet connection on this computer. That's interesting. okay. At least that's what Facebook just told me on that computer. Oh, now it just popped back up. Okay. But yeah, I was I'm rooting for Joe, of course. Let's see. Trump don't either. Pastor Person said Trump don't either. He don't look good either. But hey, I'm not a non-for-profit organization, so I can say whatever. If y'all let Trump get back in there, we in some serious trouble. I'm gonna say that again. But a mannequin with no head will be better than Donald Trump as president at this point. I'm just gonna say that a mannequin with no head would be better than what we have right now. But I'm looking for, and I'm going to get this woman's name right, because I keep wanting to call her Kamala. But Kamala, first of all, that's Kamala. She is bright. She's quick on her feet, too. And y'all saw how she handled Joe during them debates. She was all over Joe. She was all over Joe in them debates, man. Joe had his hands full with her. He was not prepared for what she was hitting with during the debate. So I'm anxious to see what she's going to do. Mike Pence is a very reserved individual, so it's not going to be a fiery type debate. Mike Pence is very conservative and reserved. You know, he's the former governor of Indiana. You know, and he says all he has to do is make it to January 21st, 2021. The MVP Harris can take over. I know, right? I know, right? So, yeah, he can go on in there, and then Joe can check out, and then she can be the VP. She can finish out that term, and then, you know, we'd go from the first – she'd be the first to go from the first black female – she'd be go from the first female president to the first black female president. So she can knock out two birds with one stone. So, yeah, I'm excited about seeing them. But it's going to be an interesting race, y'all, because there are no political gatherings. They shut everything down. Everything is kind of because we can't gather together in large spaces. Everything is kind of on the, you know, it's up in the air. So everything is going to be done virtually. So it's going to be interesting to see how these things play out. All right. That was my national information. I don't even want to talk about that fake peace conference, that fake peace deal that Trump put together. But they still left out the Palestinians. So until you get a peace deal with the Palestinians, I don't want to hear about it. He says, please watch her interview with the Breakfast Club. She's suspect. I know, right? She is a little suspect. You know that? Yeah, Felicia, I know. She was not my first choice. She was not my first choice, but she is the choice. And I get it. I completely get it, Felicia. I watched that Breakfast Club interview way back when because she made some of her choices when she was the attorney general or the lead prosecutor, whatever. She made some interesting choices. So I'm not excusing her at all. All right, y'all. Let's move it back to the city. So you all know there's this activist, and let me tell y'all about my producer, so maybe y'all can talk to her. There's this activist, local activist. I mentioned his name last week. His name is Jamal Green. It's Jamal. But, you know, when you become a little popular, you change your name. I need to change my name to D. Aina. Aina. You saying no? That ain't going to work? Okay. But Jamal Green, y'all know Jamal Green. He's the brother. He leads a lot of the protest, and he's an activist in the city, local activist in the city. And he does a lot of he does a lot of stuff locally in the city. He put up a post today. I want to just read his post. I want to read his post. I should have sent this to you, Tanya, screenshot it so you could have shared it with the people. Is it too late to do that? Probably. Yeah. Probably is. I can try. Okay. Let me see. Let me see if I can share this with you real quick. Come on. All right. So anyway, he put up this post on Twitter, and I guess it was also on Instagram. I guess I should have sent it to you in an email, right? I don't know whatever you need to do to get it. I sent it there. Oh, then you'll send it to you. Got it. Okay. So anyway, this is what his post. Oh, now I need to go back. Now I can't see it myself. This is what his post said. He says, and this was posted earlier today. He says, I hope downtown never rests until we all rest. The city is going over and beyond to prosecute looters and even called for federal charges, raising bridges to prevent people from entering into downtown and even starting a task force to find them because they messed with your precious riches. Rich people writing the mayor saying they don't feel safe. The South and West Side want to rest too. We have never felt safe. Y'all finally feel how we feel, but the response to your temporary pain doesn't compare to how the city responds to our everyday pain, and it pisses me off. I'm reading his post. He says, I'm tired of this crap. Can't say what he said. Tired. Our black youth deserve better. We deserve jobs. We deserve help. We deserve community centers. We deserve housing. We deserve what you have. We deserve what you have. That's the line that stuck out with me. We deserve what you have. Not that we deserve the opportunities you got. Not that we deserve the resources you got. But we deserve what you have. So I read this post. Did you, were you able to get it? Oh, you're still working on it. Okay. I read this post, and again, we'll put the post up again, and I'll read it again once Tanya's able to get it up for y'all, possibly, maybe. One of the things that stuck out for me was they showed new. We got so that every day they're releasing new video of the looters, and they showed a young lady or some young ladies who made it up to. I guess Victor, one of y'all help me out because I ain't been to Water Tower in a long time. Is Victoria's Secret on the fourth floor of the Water Tower place? So when they broke in on, was that Monday night? They were just breaking in started Monday night or Sunday night going into Monday? Sunday night going into Monday morning. So it's Monday. So, but it was, okay, Sunday night moving into Monday morning. Got it. So we got right, because when I woke up Monday morning, that's when all the stuff was on the news. Got it. Okay. So they have video of some ladies who had made their way up to the fourth floor of the Water Tower. Mind you, this is should be a closed building. I don't know how they got up to the fourth floor. Maybe you, oh, so it's like getting into the mall. So there's no cutoff. Macy's don't have a door up like the regular malls do where they close the doors and lock it. Okay. Anyway, they got into the store. They had a four-way wrench, the one you would use for fixing the flat on your car. They showed them breaking the window. The cameras on the inside catch them breaking the window to get into Victoria's Secret. They then knock out the glass. They kick out the rest of the glass. She's real skinny. She slides into the door. Then she opens the door to Victoria's Secret from the inside, letting everybody into Victoria's Secret. Let me tell you what I saw. I don't know if these people were unemployed. I don't know that these people didn't have jobs. I just find it real suspect. And I'm sick of the dang on excuses. I'm sorry. Y'all can take y'all excuses. Don't tell me you. So see, here is where Jamal Green, here is where your post does not make sense. When you say we deserve what they have, what do you mean? So I'm bringing this up because I asked Tanya last week. I'm going to ask her again. I'm going to need her to do her job. I asked Tanya last week. What's wrong? Is dead? Oh, okay. I asked Tanya last week to contact his people to have him come to the studio for a one-on-one interview with me. I know he's a Southside kid, so he's somewhere over here already. I'm sure he's going to be out there tomorrow with the Dan Ryan shutdown with his Twitter followers and all his people. He's going to be on somewhere else protesting the city. But I want him to come to this show and explain some of these comments that I read. Raising bridges to prevent people from entering into downtown. Yes, there are no bridges to prevent them from coming to Chicago, coming into the onto the west side. But you know what you could do, Jamal? You can talk to the young brothers and sisters in the street and tell them. Because first of all, everybody that's out there looting ain't jobless. Everybody that's out there looting ain't starving. Because I find it funny that they broke in the stores. When they hit the stores, are they stealing groceries? When they broke in the stores, did they steal groceries? Even when they broke into some of the grocery stores, they hit the liquor aisle. They didn't go back and get meat. They didn't get no steak. They didn't even get the crab legs and the lobsters. They hit the liquor aisle and the cleaning products aisle. They didn't hit the meat. See, when you're hungry, if I'm starving and I got to steal, I'm stealing what I can eat. I'm packing up on canned goods. Give me a couple of bags of crackers. You know what I'm saying? I'm packing up on the stuff I can eat. What the gym shoes do? Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. What the gym shoes do? What? So you breaking down into the Victoria's Secret still in the thongs? What y'all needed some new negligees? Is that still a word, negligee? Some new lingerie? Well, what does that do? don't give me the excuse telling me that this is this is because they're angry. This is because they're downtrodden. This is because they're this. This is because they feel a certain way. Let me read it again. Are you not able to get it up there? Oh, okay. Oh, you mean to get out of that? Oh, you can't do it while it's live? Oh, no, don't worry about it then. No, I won't take no chances. Okay, cool. I thought you could. Okay, never mind. But yeah, you gotta, you, so he says, the rich people are writing the mayor saying that they don't feel safe. Okay, it's not that, but stop trying to make it seem like that the people who live in these downtrodden areas haven't been saying that they don't feel safe. Downtown should not rest. The tale of two cities, this two cities has to end. Yes, there is a tale of two cities. I agree with you wholeheartedly. All right, so that was another post. Earlier, he put this other post up. He says, to all the people who use the where is the energy when black babies are killed excuse every time they see black people fighting against a different issue. If you are white, you don't understand your privilege, and that statement has racial undertones. Sorry, your white news don't show the positive. If you're black, you have been brainwashed to believe people aren't fighting against violence, or you're not an active community member to see people fighting against violence every day. If you think tears don't flow from black faces when babies are killed, then you're ignorant. But you have to understand that yelling to people in poverty to stop killing does nothing. Offering them counseling will, offering them a job will, a mentoring program, a house, food to eat, hope. But black people have no economic power to do any of those things that would change these communities. So when we fight any oppressive racist system, it is fighting violence. Once again, great words, conflating two separate issues. Yes, great words, conflating two separate issues. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all. Come on now. Let's see. Let me see. Get these comments. Felicia says, no. Pitts, you said, yes, I'm right. Felicia says, sounds like 400 years ago. The only difference is property, not people. I would do it, but I ain't mad either. Monica Don Browner says, everyone out there aren't teenagers. They were grown folks. Right. Grown folks with jobs. If you're starving, why aren't you breaking into why when y'all break into Walgreens, the food section in Walgreens ain't cleaned out? Yeah, Walgreens got sandwiches and cold cuts, bologna, cheese, milk. They got a whole little grocery little aisle over there. Pop, juice, all that. But no, y'all go to the liquor section. I'm sure they can't get to the pharmacy because that's locked down with the gate and everything. So they can't get back there because, again, I'm tired of the excuses. I'm tired of the excuses. I know there are root causes. I know there are several different reasons behind. I know there are underlining issues, but tearing up stuff. And then let us not forget, yes, they tore up downtown, but they did hit parts of the South Side again. So I'm sorry, bro. I'm not trying to bash a fellow activist. I'm not. But when you make excuses saying that we want what you got, we deserve what you have. That's real vague. And if I earned what I have, because that's like somebody coming to tell me they deserve what I have. Somebody coming to tell me that, first of all, I worked for everything I got. Nothing came free. Nothing came free. Right? So to say you deserve what somebody else has gotten or has earned. Now, watch this. Do we deserve the same resources? Yes. Do our schools deserve the same resources that schools on the north side of Chicago get? Yes. Do our children deserve the same access to after-school programs and things like that? Yes. To mentors? Yes. But those things don't equate to me busting out a window to steal a Coach purse. Those things don't equate to me to go and bust out Victoria's Secret to go steal some thongs and some drawers and some brassieres. Right? That me going to steal some gym shoes because I don't have resources, so I'm gonna steal gym shoes. So watch this. Even if I bought into, watch this. Follow me, y'all. I'm gonna walk us somewhere. Even if I bought into that they were doing it because they were out of resources, so they were fed up and out of resources. Even if I bought into that, so that would mean. I took what I stole to supply me with what I needed. So I went and I stole those Jordans so I could sell those Jordans so I could put some food for my family. Maybe I might almost agree with you. Maybe I broke into Tops and Bottoms the other day. Maybe I broke in Tops and Bottoms because I wanted to steal all the True Religion jeans I could get my hands on. I don't even know if that people still buying Trues. No, what's the jeans they buying now? I'm out of, you know. I don't even know. You don't know? Okay. Where Jalen at? Somebody tell me what jeans are the children's wearing now. But you know, but if they went in there and they stole all this stuff so they could turn around and sell it. You know, if they were doing the Robin Hood mentality, steal from the rich and give to the poor. If you were stealing all this stuff and then turned around, like if let's say you broke into the Mariano's, right? So I broke into Mariano's with my van and my truck, and I called my crew. I said, hey, y'all, come on, we're gonna break into Mariano's and we're gonna clean off all of the canned goods shelves. We're gonna get some hefty bags and some baskets, and we're going to clear out all the bags, the shelves. We're going to get all the frozen goods and everything. And then 3 days later, I got a food pantry giveaway in my backyard. Come on, y'all. Come get y'all this. I got bags of groceries. Rob from the rich, give to the poor. It ain't even the Robin Hood deal. So you know what? Miss me with that bull. Miss me with that. Ain't nobody trying to hear that. I'm not trying to hear that at all. I'm sure you took the narrative from the news. No, see, no, Felicia, I did not, because I know people that work in certain stores, and then I do more than look at what's on the television, and then I also have access to other reports, and then I know a lot of police officers too, so I get access to stuff. So yeah, I know that the Mariano's and the grocery stores that were broken into, none of them, that their biggest losses were liquor. Their biggest losses were liquor. It wasn't meat. Nobody broke behind the cold cut. Because, you know, if you're going to go in the grocery store, go back there and get you a couple of rolls of that. Get you a couple of blocks of ham. Come on now. And some of that good Sara Lee brown sugar ham and honey turkey and all that. I'm just saying. That ain't what they did, though. Not one grocery store showed a picture. When they were showing pictures, even when Parks. About when that first riot happened, when Parks walked through the Jewel with his camera and he went into the Jewel that they had went in, he walked back to the section. The meat counter wasn't broke. The glass on the meat freezer wasn't broke. None of that stuff was broken. The meat was still in there. Why? But the liquor aisle, the products aisle, the hair care products, the body washes, the deodorants, the Axe and all of that stuff. The shower gels, all of that stuff was gone. That's all I'm saying. Stop making excuses for these people. Stop making excuses for these people. Stop giving them the cop out is, well, they don't have it, so they deserve it. Deserve what? Now, what would happen? Can I give y'all a scenario that's going to upset some people? Can I give y'all a scenario that would upset some people? May I give y'all a scenario that will upset some people? I own a store. My store has been hit. It's my store. My store has been hit before. I hire private security, not to stand out front of my store. I ain't put no boards up at my store. I shouldn't have to board up my store windows. I ain't put no boards up in my store. I'm going to hire private armed security. When the glass breaks and you step foot in my store, can I just say it like I feel it? Light your ass up. Then all of a sudden, y'all going to be mad because the store owner decided to shoot people who was on his property. Just like I would shoot you if you broke in my house. I'm just going to tell y'all what I'm going to tell y'all the truth, what God loved. Just like you walked in, they would carry you out if you broke into any of my residences. If you stepped foot in any property that I own, my mama owned, or anybody else, you're going to walk in, but they're going to carry you out. So if you walked into my store, don't get mad when they start taking the law into their own hands. Don't put no board. Can I talk to the people? Don't put not a nail another board up to your store. Hire you some armed guards. All it takes is one or two to fall. I'm just going to be real with y'all. I know y'all probably like, this preacher done lost his mind. Break in the right store. Can I take y'all back? I remember when the Bulls won the first championship. Let me refresh. I know the comments. But y'all can call in, too, with your comments. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. 323-870-4375 is the call number. What happened to the phone call? Interesting. The studio call dropped. Okay, but we still good? Do you know? Okay, good. But here is the situation. Y'all pray for me. Where is? Oh yeah, we must be because I heard that. So where is? When the Bulls won their first championship, y'all remember this, they tore up the city. Folks tore up the city, breaking in stores, celebrating. We good? Celebrating. But they broke in stores. That was in 1992. They broke in stores. There used to be a pawn shop, Tanya, on Madison Street. The guy's name was King that owned the pawn shop right there in between where the KFC used to be and in between the KFC and Luigi's Pizza. It was a pawn shop right there. You know what Mr. King did the night when everybody was running up and down the street breaking in stores? He sat in his doorway in a folding chair with a sawed-off shotgun in his hand. And he sat in there and his doors were wide open. And he didn't sit in front of the door. He sat next to the door. And he sat there. Nobody ran in his store. And the pawn shop, y'all know this, pawn shop got good stuff sometimes. The pawn shop got good stuff. You can go to pawn shop and get you some jewelry. You can go to pawn shop and get some. Are we frozen? Because I'm not frozen, but somebody said we was frozen. But I ain't froze at all on the screen I'm watching over here on my version. These are excuses. What was the excuse when the Bulls won the championship? We were downtrodden. We were upset. We didn't have stuff. What was the excuse? No, the excuse was, let's go tear up something. Because, see, the difference is when those white towns have when those colleges win championships and them white boys and white girls go out there celebrating and they turn over a car, they'll turn over a car, but they ain't breaking in no stores. They'll flip over a car. They'll light a garbage can on fire. They'll dance in the street. They'll climb a light pole. You know, they do all the stuff. You know, they do white people stuff. I said it. But they ain't breaking in their stores in their neighborhood. So don't tell me that this is the reason for breaking in the store. Don't give me that. I'm sorry. I ain't buying it. In the words of my former pastor, Ray E. Williams, that dog don't hunt. That dog don't hunt. I'm over it. I ain't buying it at all. I just think it's just making up excuses. Let me read this. Mark Atkins. What's up, my little brother, Mark D. Atkins? He said that's the West Side coming out. she said today Evergreen Park shut down all stores at 4:30. Yeah. Yeah. She says because this is what's going on, what's going to happen. One really scared police officer shoot one of these looters swinging at them. Then what? Right. Break in the right store. Or in that case, break in the wrong store and see what happens. I got more comments. Let me refresh. Okay, here we go. Monica Dunn says, my daughter, who is in the same age as he, replied to Jamal and told him that the South and West Sides don't feel safe either. Go tell that mess to the gangsters in the sets. Right. Why isn't Jamal out there with his folk talking to the gangsters? Because that's who we're afraid of. Come on now. Patricia Buss said, that's no different from someone deciding that they want my house because they don't have one. I worked really hard to get this house and equally hard to keep it. Yes, we deserve the opportunity to achieve, but we don't have the right to take what belongs to someone else, by the way. I want to get my hands on one of those old Hyde Park mansions. I know, right? Let's see. You see, I got more comments. Oh, here we go. Okay. Patricia replied to Monica. Right. Who gets lost in the conversation is the fact that someone called the police because the young man, not teenager, had a gun in the first place. You can't ask the police to protect you, then get mad when they do their job. When someone breaks in my house, I can't call. Man, I'm calling the police. Yeah. You're breaking mine, I'm calling the coroner. You're breaking in my house, I'm going to use the famous three words that black folks use all the time. Anybody know what they are? Tanya, can you help us out? What happens when black people die? What's the famous question that people ask? Who got the body? That's what's going to happen. If you break into anything that's got a king on the title, the lease, whatever it is, the more, whatever it is, you break into it and I'm there or my people are there, that's the question. Who got the body? Corbin, Leakin Sons, what's the broad view? Wallace done buried all my people. Wallace done buried everybody in my family. Everybody. Wallace out there in Broadview. Who got the body? That's the question y'all going to be asking while you in there trying to steal. You can, Okay. I'm just putting it out there. Y'all need to stop coming up with excuses. They're stealing because they don't have. They didn't look hungry. And then you got them. Watch this. See, I examined the full videos. And so what they released today, if you go on the websites, they got all the close-ups of all of the different people because they're trying to identify these people. You got on $300 gym shoes when you breaking in to steal $300 gym shoes. Uh-oh. You got on a coach backpack when you breaking into the coach store. Now, I don't know if yours is real or not. Come on, what you got?
Well, I mean, the news was saying it was a ring. And what has happened is that our generation, not us, but the people that broke into stuff, they actually work there or have worked there because
they know where everything is.
Everything was because you went either downstairs to get the stuff.
Yeah.
Or you went to the back. Or they did all side doors.
Yeah.
So they, now they're saying it's a ring because you saw some of the people. Some of them came from Waukegan. So you got the message and you came on through.
Right. You from Waukegan. Don't give me that. You drove.
These are the original Boosters keys.
Maybe I need to start going back to the barbershop so I can get a deal on some of this good merchandise. You know, back in the day. Back in the day when you went to the barbershop and the beauty shop, you can get your whole Friday night outfit. I knew a booster back in the day who used to ask, look, we had a booster on the west side. If my mom was on here, I cannot think of her name right now. Something started with a D. But she would ask you what your size was. She was taking orders. And then you, and she'd be saying, I'll be back at 4 o'clock. And then you go back to the barbershop, and she got everything you. I mean, she got your size. I was a slim 32 back then. But you know, she had your size. I remember, I was so mad one time at the barbershop, I missed out on a nice laptop. Dude came in with a 17-inch laptop, a brand new Dell laptop. He was selling that bad boy for $150. I had no cash on me. I had to run across the street to the ATM. By the time I got back, he's like, man, I let that go. Dude gave me $180. What? So from that point on, back in the day, I used to go to the barbershop. I had my hair money because it was about $30. But then I had $300 in my other pocket. Just in case I had to do a little shopping in the barbershop. I'm just saying. Y'all miss me with that, man. Don't. Oh, God. All these excuses. This conversation is for different generation. Okay, Felicia. God be going to. That's why they gave conceal and carry. Look here. If you break in my place, it ain't concealed in my house. They're all properly positioned in designated areas for easy access. Let me say that again. My firearms are properly positioned in designated areas for easy access. What? I got refreshed. What I missed just that quick? Hold on. Slim 32. What? You know, see, was that a little? I ain't gonna say nothing, cause you know, I've seen 32. I know what 32 looks like. Let me stop. So you try to get me, you're gonna send me out. You should let that comment ride. Great send off mission. Thank you, Madam Producer. Once again, you have done your job. I need you to contact Jamal Green though. While you're sitting over there playing on your phone, I need you to contact Jamal Green, huh? Whatever, I need you to send a message to his people. Inbox him, do something so we can get him on the show. Can you do that, please? All right, y'all. What time is it? Is that right? 7:48. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into it. I don't think I missed anything. There was something else I wanted to talk about that I didn't talk about last week. I want to talk about the school situation in Georgia. All them kids that done got the COVID since they started back in school, walking around with no mask and no mandated mask situation. We'll talk about that when we get back. We're going to take a real quick break. So, Tanya, you got one more job. Remind me sometime between today, tomorrow, Sunday, or Monday to load the new music onto the thing. I downloaded it. I just got to load it. So anyway, come on, Tommy. Give me a little bit.
Come on, put your hands together like this.
I know a way you can get back what the enemy stole. You've got to know the power of God and act like you know.
Anyway, you
You're bound to have the victory.
I forgot to turn that on. 1,200 students and staff members. Where is it at? In the district have already been ordered to quarantine. On Tuesday, one high school closed its doors until August 31st. A second high school followed on Wednesday. This is in Georgia, y'all. While many of the nation's largest school districts, school systems have opted in recent weeks to start the academic year online, other districts have forged ahead with reopening. In Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Indiana, and elsewhere. Some schools, mainly in suburban rural areas, have been open for almost 2 weeks. This is insane. This is insane. Their experience reveals the perils of returning to classroom in places where the coronavirus has hardly been tamed. Students and teachers have immediately tested positive, sending others into two-week quarantines and creating whiplash for schools that were eager to reopen, only to have to consider closing again right away. All of this has only further divided communities where parents and teachers are passionately disagreeing over the safety of reopening. Again, here we are. Comments. Other than the amen from, did I miss something? Let me see. Oh, it ain't popped up yet? Let me see. Okay. Governor of Georgia dropped the lawsuit today against Atlanta mayor over Atlanta's face mask order. Yeah. Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Yeah, that. Yeah, I saw that. Because she forced everybody to wear face masks because she was trying to prevent what was already happening. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. I'm sorry, y'all. It makes no sense at all. It makes no sense to force a situation that we have no knowledge of how this thing is going to work. We have no knowledge of the effect. Of its effects. And these kids immediately tested positive. So that's what that possibly means is they had it before they got there. They showed up to school and then infected other people in the school. And y'all saw the pictures. They walking through the hallways with no masks. There's no order to them walking in the hallway. Look, this is the time that I'm going to agree with the Polaris method. I need y'all lined up. You walking on that side. You walking on this side. You go down that stairwell. You come up this stairwell. I mean, but there was no order to what they were doing. You literally saw hundreds of kids just like a regular school day in the class, in the hallways, touching, hugging, walking, bumping, this close to each other, passing chips. I mean, seriously, where is the thought process in that? Who does that, right? So I don't know, man. We need to continue to pray for our leaders. I know it's difficult. I don't want to do online classes. We just started back Monday, and we're in our PD week, what's known as Professional Development Week. So it's just teachers on Zoom. Can I tell y'all I'm tired of Zoom already? Because here's the deal. I don't feel like we had a summer break because I feel like I had at least one Zoom meeting with Polaris every week. Did I not? I feel like I was in at least one meeting with the school every week. Whereas if I was on a real vacation, a real summer break, I wouldn't have talked to nobody up there for nothing other than them questioning me whether or not I was going to come back. So I get it. I get it. I do. But yeah, I'm glad Chicago is doing what they're doing. I know that there are schools in Illinois that went back to school. I've seen kids with book bags. I know you haven't been out a lot, Tanya, but I've seen kids with book bags. We saw kids with book bags, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like who got you in a classroom? Monica Dunbonner says, where there is no order, the people shall perish. Okay, all right. Okay, I hear you. All right. Let's move to the article. Y'all ready? All right, let's go. So today's article, I should have got the other one because this one don't stand up because it doesn't have a, oh, that'll work. Okay, cool. Oh, what if I do it that way? Boom. Ha ha. All right. Today's topic conversation, how to coach your congregation to be worshipers. How to coach your congregation to be worshipers. Y'all do me a favor. Have y'all shared this yet? How many shares we got? Let me see. How many? Seven. Seven shares. And I seen about 13, 14 y'all on here. So that means somebody being stingy. So y'all, somebody being stingy. Kim Tony. Prophetess. What she say? She says, it's not just the immediate 1,200. It's all the people they interact with, not to mention future ailments as a result of COVID. Then we won't. To designate them as having pre-existing conditions in the future when they have a but I'm assuming you mean when they've succumbed to COVID. I think is that sequela? A sequela of COVID, that's a condition. Is that right? You're making me use my brain. That's the part of the brain I ain't want to use there. I already had a headache. I think that means condition. So I think that's what that means, like condition. I've seen it before. I think it's like, let me do my spelling. I think that's like Latin, the root word of... Okay. All right. So let's jump into today's conversation. Again, how to coach your church, your congregation to be worshipers. How to coach your congregation to be worshipers. So here we go. The question that got asked at the beginning of this article is, do you have a congregation of worshipers? Do you have a congregation of worshipers? He asked this question. He says, worship leader, there's more to worship than songs. There's more to worship than band and dynamics and flow. Oh, can I read that again? Worship leader, there's more to worship than songs, band, dynamics, and flow. Can I read it one more time just in case somebody missed it? There's more to worship than songs, band dynamics, and flow. He says, if we're not careful, we can spend all of our time entertaining people on Sundays. Think about it. The music is excellent, moving, and emotional. The worship leader is good looking, uber talented, and runs a tight ship. But slow down. This is more important than you may realize, the writer says. We don't want to foster an audience of spectators or a fan club of consumers. We don't want to merely entertain people every Sunday or every weekend. This isn't the ministry that God has called us to, and it doesn't do the gathering together of his bride justice. Come on now. So what the writer is saying is the church needs to learn how to worship. I've said this a million times. A lot of churches don't know and understand what worship is. You got a lot of musicians who are very talented. They can read music. They can play whatever they hear, play whatever they see, but they don't understand worship, right? Let me go a little further. The writer, because he says, new converts need to step into the discipline, come on now, of praise and lifting up their voice, declaring the promises of God. Worship is warfare, and our churches need training. Come on now. Worship is spiritual warfare. I know Donna is jumping in and out. Tanya, can you see where she is? Is she still watching? Find out if she's still watching over there at the Dorsey. Think I'm a jigger. But worship is warfare. If you don't understand what I'm saying, if you're going through, but you intend on still worshiping while going through, that's warfare. That's you warring against your flesh. Oh God, help me. Worship is warfare because sometimes we're not in condition to worship, but we worship anyway. That means I'm going to fight what my body is telling me. I'm going to fight what my mind is telling me. I'm even going to fight the spirit that tells me to sit there and be quiet. I'm going to worship God because he is worthy. So what that means is I'm going to war against my own members. I'm going to war against my own members. Why is it calling me? Could you text her and tell her I'm what? But I have to fight my own members, my body. I have to argue and fight with myself to worship. It's warfare, and nobody sends a soldier into war without proper training. Uh-oh. Can I talk? Nobody sends a soldier into war without proper training. Come on now. Yeah, you did win medical. You went medical on me, Kim Tony. I the word sounded somewhat, I knew it. I'm like, okay, but you got me. But it's proper warfare. And nobody does that. Nobody does that. That's just not something that people do. You don't push people out there into battle without proper training. Huh? Okay. All right. So let's keep going. The writer says this. He says, we all have a voice, but many don't know how to use it. That's our role, isn't it, worship leaders? It's our role to raise up worshipers, to create environments where our voice isn't central, the unified, raised voice of God's people is. We want to lead in such a way that we're not the focus. Oh, see, that's a good worship leader. Good worship leaders lead in a way that they recognize that they aren't the focus, meaning we ain't got to put all the cameras on you, meaning you ain't got to have all the attention. You ain't got to lead every song. You ain't got to, everything ain't got to be about you. Right? Come on now. The writer says the enemy isn't afraid of a worship leader who draws all the attention to himself. Mm-hmm. But he shakes in fear when a leader gives voice to everyone in the room. There's tremendous power in that. Nothing can stop a worshiping church. Can I say that again? Worshiping churches don't have inner strife. Uh-oh. I felt all right when I said it. I felt something come up off me when I said it. Worshiping churches ain't having secret meetings. My God. Worshiping churches ain't got a million outside text messages going on. Worshiping churches, because see, if you're worshiping in spirit and in truth, then you have elevated yourself to a level where all of that other shenanigans that go on are meaningless, and they get and that stuff gets nipped in the bud real quick. But when you don't have a church full of worshipers, when you just have a church full of members, when you got a church, there's a difference between a church full of members and a church full of worshipers. Let me help y'all with this. See, some folks would love to have a church with 500 members. Give me a church with 85 worshipers. You can have your 500 members. Give me a church with 85 true worshipers, and I promise you, you'll see the difference. I promise you, that church with the 85 true worshipers, they ain't having no fights. They ain't having no whole bunch of church mess disagreements. They ain't worried about who did this with this money, who did this with that money. But a church with just members, everything you do is going to get questioned. Every move you make is being questioned. But when you have a church full of worshipers, that means Jesus is first. My. I'm going to say it. Come on now. There's something about a worshiping church. Come on now. The writer says, no trial, no hardship, no diagnosis, no pain. The sound of worship will rise throughout eternity. That's a worshiping church. That's what happens when you have a church that worships. They're not afraid they're not afraid of a little disagreement. They're not afraid of a little turmoil. They're not afraid of a storm when it comes, because a worshiping church recognizes that I serve a God who can stand on the edge of the boat and tell peace to be still. Come on. The writer goes on. He says singing isn't enough. A tight band isn't enough. Having your moment of worship isn't enough. Worship leader, it's time to think of yourself as a coach. So let's draw some parallels. Let's go, y'all. So we got a few points. The first one says, The worship leader as a coach of worshipers. The worship leader as a coach of worshipers. It's okay. The worship leader as a coach of worshipers. This is what he says. How is a coach's performance judged? He's not judged by the eloquence of his words. He's not known for his morning routine. He's not paid for how good a football player he used to be, right? A worship leader as a coach of worshipers, his performance is judged by only one thing. Is his team winning? Is the team winning? If the team is winning, the coach will have a job. If the team is winning, the coach will have a job. Worship leaders, for too long, you've judged yourself by the standards of worship industry. Boots, skinny jeans, and trendy haircuts. Cutting-edge music, new songs, epic stage lighting, smoke screens. And for too long, you've thought only about yourself and your performance. But it's time to think about your team and not just your musicians. The team is the congregation. Ask yourself these questions of your team, of your congregation. Are they thriving? Do you have a thriving worshiping congregation? Do you have a thriving worshiping congregation? Does your congregation sing when there are congregational songs? Do they sing with the choir? Do they sing with the praise team? Are they showing signs of life? Do their actions show that they love Jesus? Do their actions show that they love Jesus? The next one. Do they worship beyond the song? Do they worship beyond the song? So when the music stops, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When the music stops, are they continuing to worship? When the bump stops, when the soloist sits down, are they still worshiping? And then are they pressing in? What does pressing in mean? That means are they pushing themselves to go deeper? Woo, glory to God. Are they pushing themselves to go deeper into worship? Or are we just going through the program? Y'all sing, we're going to do this. You come back and sing, we're going to do this. We're going to do a sermonic selection. He going to preach. We're going to sing a song at the end, and then we're going to go home. That's not pressing in. Pressing in is I'm coming to church with a stated goal in mind. I'm coming to church with the expectation that my worship is going to be at a level where I will get God's attention. And my job as a worship leader is to get you to follow along with me so that we can both meet God together. And your job as a member of the congregation is to help push me. That's what pressing in is. Push me. Right? You ever say, I like my brother Michael Henderson. I'll be glad when we can start going to other folks' churches. I think I'm going to go to Michael's church early on Sunday, though. I said that the other day, but I want to go. But my brother Michael says, Michael, when Michael is preaching, if you ever watch a video of Michael Henderson preaching and he's out there in the world preaching at these different churches, you'll hear somebody in the audience say, pull it. They say, pull it, Henderson, pull it. That's because they pushing you to get there. Because they want to go too, and they're pushing you to get there. And that's how you know you got a good team. That's how you know you're coaching. When a good football coach will have his team so fired up, they would run through a brick wall for him. And a good worship leader will have his team so fired up that they truly believe that by their gifts and by their relationship with God and by their true worship, that every time they go before the throne, that they're going to invite you to follow in with them. That the congregation truly believes that they have a direct connection to God. That's what good coaches do. Mm. My God. So the writer goes on, he says, of course, every church will always have new people who don't know what they're doing. They may not raise their hands. They may not sing. But your goal is to help them move from spectator to worshipers. And why? Why? He says, because you've tasted the life-changing power of worship. This is the part that I think this is the part that lets me know who the worshipers are. This is the part that lets me know who the worshipers are. When you've had, I had some good tacos yesterday. Can I help y'all with something? I had some good tacos yesterday. And I want to tell people about this place. What's the name of the place? Taco 2. T-A-C-O-T-U, right? Taco 2. It's one in Forest Park and the other one is in Berwyn. Thank you. I had some very good tacos. I can't wait to go back there again for some more tacos. What am I saying? Once you've had something good, you want to continue to experience that good thing. So once you've been surrounded, once you've been in, around, or even sniffed the glory cloud, woo, glory to God. Once you've been around it, that is your expectation. And anything less than that, anything less than that, you feel some kind of way about it. Anything less than that is almost, you almost feel like you failed. Anything less than me ushering you in, me leading you into the presence of God, is a failure. So as a worship leader, When I stand up and pick up that mic on Sunday, even though it's virtual, I feel like my job, no matter whether you're in the room or you're sitting at your kitchen table, is to usher, get your mind, body, and soul ready to follow us into worship. That's my designation. That's my job. Come on now. That's my job. So the next thing. So we're talking about how to coach your congregation to be worshipers, right? So then he says, and that's what you want your congregation to experience. He says, so don't be satisfied with just pulling off a good service, right? Don't be satisfied with, hey, Tanya, we got through the service and we had no internet issues. Hey, Tanya, service started on time. Service started on time, and we had no problems, and nobody had a complaint, right? Or the music was great, and nobody messed up. Or this happened, and that happened, and this. That's not where the satisfaction has to come from, right? You have to be satisfied when you can, and it's hard to see a move of God because we're virtual. Let me say that again. It's hard to see a move of God because we're virtual. But we should still be able to see a move of God even with a handful of people in the room. If we all came with the mindset that I want to meet God when I get there. I know I've been talking to him. And we've been having these. Come on now. Let's see. See, watch this. Have y'all been talking to God or are y'all being catfished? Uh-oh. That's a sermon. Are y'all really talking to God or y'all being catfished? Let me help you. Because, see, you know, catfishing is you think you're talking to somebody on the other line, but they really ain't what you think you was talking to. See, so you get these expectations. And then nothing happens. because you know, because it's not a real relationship. But when it's a real relationship, that expectancy level is up to here. So when, so if I've been doing all this talking to the Lord all week long, I've been praying and worshiping, and I've been praying and worshiping, and I've been groaning and worshiping, and I've been seeking His face, and I've been looking for Him, and I've been longing for Him and thirsting for Him, and now on Sunday I get to go to His house. Woo! I finally get to go to His house. Y'all don't miss that. That'll hit somebody at home. I've been talking to you all week long. We've been talking all week long, but I finally get to go to your house. And I get there, and you ain't there. So my question is, who you been talking to? Who you been worshiping with all week long? Because, see, if you've been worshiping with God all week long, if you've been in His presence all week long, and now comes Sunday, come on now. Now comes Sunday. You finally get to go to His house. He's invited you into His sanctuary. Now, because it's virtual, that sanctuary is wherever you are. So He's invited you in. And now you need to meet Him. But the only way you meet Him is by lifting up that worship. Who you been talking to? Who you been talking to, huh? Who you been talking to? Because you wonder why. You wonder why the worship ain't where it's supposed to be. Who you been talking to? My God. All right. How to lead like a coach. Last point. How to lead like a coach. Coach them. And here's a few ways to do that. Watch this. A good worship leader or exhorter, not always the singer, it's just the person exhorting. You don't have to sing all the time. Pull back and encourage everyone else to lift their voices. That's why certain praise and worship songs are important, because it gives them a chance to sing, and it allows you to bask in their worship. That's good. So pull back and encourage congregational singing. I know in the midst of COVID, they're telling folk don't sing in church because you start spitting and stuff starts flying and all that. But I guess if y'all going to be in with your mask, it is what it is. I'm still not looking. No, not waiting to see that one. But it is what it is. The next point, give exhortations. Come on now. It's more than just pulling off a flawless worship songs. It's about exhorting God. Oh, God, there is no other God like you. Oh, God, you're worthy to be praised. Oh, God, we honor you today, God. We lift your name up today, God. We extol you today, God. Oh, praise be the name of it, Almighty God. See, that's exhorting Him. That's exhortation. Good coaches exhort their congregation. Come on now. They exhort the name of God and exhort. Come on now, they're exhorting, they're pushing. Come on now, that's what we do. It's like, I see you want to give up. Let me help you. Let me tell you what the victory will get you. Woo! Come on now, I see you're tired. I know you've been toiling for a long time, but let me show you what happens on the other side. Come on now, to God be the glory. Pissy says, that's right. Come on now, I know Him. Yeah, glory. Huh? In the words of Sister Beverly Simpson, here at the church, who left me a nice goodie bag. Thank you, Sister Simpson. One of her favorite lines is, bless the name of Jesus. That's one of them. Bless the name of Jesus. Come on now. And that's what exhorting is. All right. The next one says simplify. Come on now. It ain't got to be rocket science on Sunday morning. You should not spend your Sunday morning overcomplicating the worship service. If you got to overcomplicate the worship service, stick to the stuff you know. Stick to the stuff you know. You don't need no epic arrangement. Learn what, this is so key, learn the voice of your church. You can't come in singing Israel and New Breed if that's not the voice of your church. And I love Israel and New Breed. And some songs will work, but you have to learn which ones will. You can't sing every Fred Hammond song. Some Fred Hammond songs will work. Some other ones don't. But you have to know the voice of your church. That's good. I like that. Know the voice of your church. You got it? Okay. Know the voice of your church. The next one, the next one. The next one says, teach, teach. Oh, this is good. Teach. The writer says this. He says, spend or seize opportunities to teach during worship. Seize opportunities to teach during worship. And then have your pastors or preachers or ministers preach on it. A lot of churches don't teach about praise and worship. A lot of churches don't preach about praise and worship. Preach on it. Preach on it. Do some Bible studies on it. And I can tell you from experience, and I got one witness sitting over there, and I got a few others that might be on listening, sneaking, listening, whatever they're doing. We did a praise and worship Bible study for, I don't know how many weeks it went. Maybe 6 to 8. And it was set to go longer, but we paused it for something. Something else happened. We had to pause it, and then we lost that momentum, and we just never were able to get back to it. But we could see the difference in our congregation after 2 weeks of lessons, because they said, oh, I didn't understand, but now I do. Oh, I got it now. Oh, that's what that meant. Oh, okay, now I see. Now I get it. Now I don't have to be ashamed. Now I can worship freely because I did not know. Or I wasn't aware. So because I wasn't aware, I was afraid to do what they were doing. So preach and teach on it. The next one, create space. Songs are great, but they're just the two. Plan intentional moments in your set where people can respond in their own words. So, see, instrumental for instrumental reasons, just because you, watch this. Being instrumental because you ain't got nobody to sing, sorry. Instrumental is a special time, especially in worship. Like for me, if somebody were to play It Is Well on the organ, woo, for a sermonic selection, you ain't got to sing. If somebody were to play I Surrender All for a sermonic selection before I preach, and I didn't have a singer, wouldn't bother me at all. Because what happens is the congregation knows those songs, and it will take them to a place that they will start to sing out. And you'll find out that somebody in the audience has been there before. Oh, my God. And it'll allow them the space. It's about creating space and opportunity for them to freely worship without your direction. Come on, come on. And then the last one, the writer says, identify what a win looks like. It's a win if you and your team do well, or if your congregation engages well. Learn how to identify what a win looks like. A win is not, hey, we didn't have no problems today. That's a win. Now, that might have been a win 3 weeks ago when we first started virtual service. That ain't a win now. That's a standard. The standard is that we're setting is we don't want any technical issues. But a win is I saw somebody's chains falling off. I saw someone being set free. I saw deliverance take place. I saw somebody who I never thought would break, and I could see the burdens lifting off of their shoulders. That's what a win looks like. That's what a win looks like. So the question is, how are you training your people to be worshipers? How are you training your people to be worshipers? Are you training worshipers? That's good. That's good. Are you training worshipers? Woo, my God. That's good. That's good. There's a song that was playing, and I can't play it for my Blog Talk people. I'm gonna do this because I don't want to leave y'all missing it. So let me do this for my Blog Talk people for a few moments. I want to give this to those of you watching on the stream and those of you that's going to go back and watch this on the on the Facebook live stream. So I'm going to play this song for my associate, for my Blog Talk radio side listeners. Y'all bear with me, let me switch this up. Where's my volume control?
How did you prove your love? How did you prove your grace and mercy? How did you fill my life?
This is song.
Was worth the price to give of everything? And now there is a doubt about it. I'm going to tell everybody, no greater love I've found than the one who has laid down his life for me.
Yeah. You love me.
You prove you love me.
Prove your mercy.
And you prove your mercy.
this song. My, my, my. Look, y'all, I wanted to share that with y'all. That thing blessed me. All things well. That's Myron Butler. Myron Butler, man, and Levi. Myron Butler and Levi. Amazing song. God does all things well. God does all things well. That thing just moves. And that is a song just in the lyrics alone. The flow of the song, what the song does. If I walk you through the lyrics, if I was going to teach praise and worship, if I walked you through the lyrics, right? It starts off with hallelujah. Y'all know hallelujah, just for correction purposes. I know we've been taught wrongly that hallelujah is the highest praise. It is not, right? Hallelujah is a call to praise, right? But then it's hallelujah, hallelujah. God does all things well. Then it speaks to us about God when he says some things we do not understand, the way may not be clear, but God knows, and yes, he has a plan. So let faith replace your fear, and then turn around and say, hallelujah, hallelujah, God does all things well. Then the next verse, there is no failure in my Savior. He does all things well. There is no failure. Come on now. I don't know what more y'all need. I don't know what more y'all need. If I could get some musicians to recognize that song and what that song means and what the details and how that song flows, you would change the dynamic of your praise and worship team. All right, we gonna. That's it, y'all. Look, we had a great time today. Thank y'all so much, man. We had a great, great week. Y'all, pray for us. We find, Jalen is back home, but he's officially going, at least until COVID put him out. But he's officially going to school. He's officially going away to school this Sunday. So immediately after church, we packing up and putting him in a couple of cars, and we driving down to Lincoln to drop him off at Lincoln College. So y'all pray for traveling mercy and grace. Let us go to the throne. Father God, we thank you again, God. We just thank you, God, for being who you are, God. We just thank you, God, for everything that you do, God. We recognize that you do all things well, God. So for that, we just want to lift up your name and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You do all things well. God, we thank you, God, for every listener on the Blog Talk Radio side. God, we thank you for every one of them, God. Even though they may be quiet and we may not know who they are, God, they may not ever make a comment, God. They may not ever send in a message. But we just want to say thank you, God, for those who listen on the Blog Talk Radio side. Then, God, for those who are listening and watching on Facebook Live and whatever other streams they may be watching on, we want to say thank you to them, God. Those that popped in for a hot second, those that stayed on for the entire hour and 41 minutes, God. We just want to thank you for them, God. We want to ask right now that you would bless their households, God. Bless their households, God. Bless them spiritually. Bless them physically. Bless them mentally, God. And then even bless them financially, God. There may be someone who has a need right now in one of those categories, God. We ask right now that you would fill that need by only the way you can, God. The Bible says that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider, God. So provide for them whatever it is they stand in need of at this moment, God. We thank you right now, God, for being who you are, God. We bless your name right now, God. We bless your name, Jesus, right now, God, as only we can. God, we lift you up right now, God. Then, God, for those who are taking children to schools this weekend, God, we pray a prayer of protection around them, God. We know that this COVID thing is still out and it's still around. It's still breathing. It's still touching. It's still harming, God. But we pray a protection of around our children right now, God, a hedge of protection, God, around those children who've been forced to go back into classrooms that are ill-prepared, God. We pray a hedge of protection around them, God. We pray a hedge of protection around teachers who've been forced back into classrooms that are ill-prepared to fight this virus, God. We pray a hedge of protection around them and their families and anyone that they come in contact with, God. We now pray a prayer, God, for churches. There are some churches who have reopened, God, even though that we're in this still serious times, God. We pray a hedge of protection around them and their pastors and their leaders right now, God. Lord God, we just love you on today, and we just lift your name on today. We pray this prayer in the matchless name of Jesus the Savior. We pray this prayer. Amen. Woo! All right, y'all. This was all right. It worked out. We started off a little shaky, but it worked out. And we're gonna get out of here before it started acting up. So anyway, look, y'all. If you gotta drive through this, look, and tomorrow, look, they're gonna be protesting the city. So if you gotta be on the south side tomorrow, get off and on before 12 o'clock. Because at 12 o'clock, they're shutting down the Dan Ryan between 47th and 43rd Street. So if you got to be on, going whichever direction, I'm telling you now, find you a side street. Don't even come to the south side till later on tomorrow night. I'm trying to help y'all out. So, but be prepared. But look, if you got to drive again through this special city we call Chi-Town, do me a favor, my brothers and sisters. Keep your head on a swivel. Two T's, one L.
Put your head.